Ephesians chapter 5, let's read verses 1 and 2, and then we will pray. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savour. Let's pray. O God, I pray that you would now fill us with your Holy Spirit. Please teach us, help us to walk worthily of our calling. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Within Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul challenges these Christians to be true followers of God, as it reads there in verse 1, be therefore followers of God. And then in verse 2, he defines or he expounds how we can be followers of God and walk in love. Be followers of God, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Because God has loved us, first and foremost, we should love him. And if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, then you have experienced the love of God in providing forgiveness, eternal life. I would like to think that you understand that we were loved first, and therefore it's only natural to respond with love towards the one that loves us. And this is what the Apostle Paul is referring to. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We are dear. We are precious to God. Just like a child is precious, we are precious to God. A child is precious before mum and dad. We as children of God are precious before God. We are considered precious. Walk in love, the Bible calls us. And then from verses 3 all the way down to verse number 5, he makes reference to the need to reject perversions of biblical love. Be ye followers of God as dear children, walk in love, because Christ has loved us first, and reject, stay clear of these perversions that prevail around us. The Apostle Paul here in verses 3 to 5 not only makes reference to lifestyle, but also conversations that are perverted or communicate perversion when it comes to biblical love. He talks about fornication, uncleanness, covetousness in verse number 3. Lifestyles that are perversions that will steal our love for God. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. And then in verse number 4, he talks about the speech of the individual that is perverted. Filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. These are not convenient, certainly not convenient, not appropriate for the child of God. But giving thanks is appropriate for the child of God. And then in verse number 5, the Apostle Paul said, for this ye know, you are aware of the fact that no whoremonger or nor unclean person nor covetous man, those that continue in immorality and those that continue in covetousness, they give the evidence that they are not a part of the family of God. Nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So therefore, the Apostle Paul writes to these believers and warns them concerning the perversions that prevail around them, and they need to be cautious and walk circumspectly and give the evidence of being followers of God by walking in love, with Christ being preeminent and being their love, as opposed to becoming a victim of fornication or uncleanness or covetousness. The city of Ephesus was a wealthy city. The city of Ephesus was also a very immoral city. Immorality was in the open, without getting explicit. Literally in the open. So therefore, it's no coincidence that the Apostle Paul challenges these believers, be on guard against these perversions of love. And so likewise today, beloved, we are all aware that around us we find perversions of biblical love that will rob you and I of our full devotion for Jesus Christ. Be followers of God. Walk in love. And from verses 6 onwards, the Apostle Paul teaches practically, gives some practical teaching in dealing with the perversions of the world. How do we practically reject these perversions of love as followers of God in our day? Well, that's the essence of verses 6 all the way down to verse number 13. Let's begin in verse number 6. It reads, let no man deceive you with vain words. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. How do we practically reject these perversions of love that prevail around us today as followers of God? First and foremost, the Bible teaches us, don't be deceived with vain words. Vain, empty, devoid of truth. Don't be deceived by words that are not true. Don't be misled. Don't be convinced contrary to truth. Don't be convinced that fornication and uncleanness and covetousness will satisfy you long term. Don't be deceived. God will judge those that live a perverted life, as it reads there in the second part of verse number 6. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So be careful, child of God, what you listen to. And don't be deceived by vain words. Words are powerful, are they not? Words can build up. Words can destroy. Words can be used to curse. Words can be used to bless. And the Bible teaches us, let no man deceive you with vain words. How did sin enter into the world? Well, according to Genesis chapter 3, the devil convinced Eve that you eat of this particular tree, you will not die. That was an outright lie. But Eve chose to believe the words of the evil one. Don't be deceived. God's attitude towards perverted love is judgment. And it's clearly spelled out in the Word of God. As the world becomes more perverse and perverts what biblical love is really all about, God will judge. As it reads then verse number 6, "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God." God's attitude towards perverted love is seen clearly, for example, in Numbers 25 verses 1 to 9, where Israel had illicit sexual relationships with Moabite women, and God judged them severely. 24,000 men were killed. 24,000. Beloved, we need to be discerning. Don't be deceived by vain words. As Galatians 6 teaches us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then we move on to verse number 7. Not only do we need to be on guard and not be deceived by vain words, we need to exercise discernment and ask ourselves, is this the truth or not? But secondly, note then verse number 7, it reads, back in Ephesians 5, 7, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." The principle of keeping your distance. Don't keep company with those that live immoral, perverted lives. Don't be deceived by vain words. Don't keep company with those that live immoral, perverted lives. Note there what Psalm 1 teaches us. Please, Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1 reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." We need to distance ourselves from those that have an immoral mindset, whether they communicate that by their actions or by their words. You and I need to keep our distance. Proverbs 13:20 reads, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Proverbs 1:10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." We need to distance ourselves from those that live immoral, perverted lives. And just like in the biblical setting, there was a variety of platforms that these perversions were evident there in Ephesus, from the temples to the immoral houses that line the main streets of Ephesus. We need to be vigilant concerning such perversions in our day through literature, through media, through the entertainment world. And we need to choose to not keep company with the ungodly, whether it be on our phones, whether it be in the things that we watch, or in the things that we read, or the places we go. Amen. Evil communication corrupt good manners. If you spend time with perverted people, you will become perverted. You watch movies that are full of perversions, you will become perverted. You listen to the speech of the perverted individual, you will become perverted. Don't keep company with those that are perverted morally. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't be deceived by their vain words. Don't be partakers of their company. And then note then verse number 8, please, back at Ephesians 5, 8, it reads, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So dealing with the perversions of the world, we need to, number one, don't be deceived by vain words. Don't be deceived. Number two, distance. Distance yourself. Don't keep company with those that live perverted lives. And thirdly, determine to walk as children of light. Determine to walk as children of light. Note the wording there in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Past tense, "for ye were sometimes darkness." This is in reference to being unsaved. You were once unsaved. You once walked in darkness, but, note the but there, "but now ye are in the present light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Ye were in darkness. You were once upon a time unsaved. You were once a child of darkness, but now you are a child of light. Note there in Acts chapter 26, please. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. In verse 18. In verse 18 it reads, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified," how? "By faith that is in me." Now if you've got a good Bible, this will be in red. This is the words of the Lord Jesus. Faith in me. It's Jesus Christ that gives life. It is Jesus Christ that gives light. It is Jesus Christ that delivers us from the power of Satan, releases us from Satan's domain, and we are born again by the Spirit of God. We are no longer children of darkness. We are children of light. And as Ephesians 5:8 reads, "Ye are light in the Lord. Therefore, walk as children of light." You are now, you were in darkness, but now you are no longer in darkness, you are in the light. Walk as children of light. As the Lord Jesus said in John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." My friend this morning, are you a child of God? Are you a child of darkness, or are you a child of God? Are you a child of light? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And we receive him by faith and by faith alone. And Paul exhorts these believers there within the city of Ephesus to walk as children of light. You once were children of darkness. Don't walk in the dark. Don't walk as children of darkness any longer. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The believer has gone from darkness to light as a result of salvation. And his conduct should show this fact. So here in verse 8, leading into verse 9, the Apostle Paul is exhorting these believers. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by vain words. Distance yourself. Stay clear of bad company. But thirdly, determine to walk as children of light. I love Romans chapter 6, please. Quickly, Romans chapter 6. Verse number 13. It is possible to determine to walk in the light as children of light because the power of sin has been broken. But note here in Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't yield your life to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Determine to walk as children of light. What does he mean by walking as children of light? Well, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 5, we note there in verse 9, he talks about, for the fruit of the Spirit is, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to walk as children of light. What does it mean? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. There it is. That's how we walk in the light. We walk in all goodness, that which is of benefit to you and I spiritually. We walk in righteousness, that which is right as opposed to wrong. And we walk in truth. The Word of God is truth. Scriptures is given of God, inspired of God, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we find truth, we find righteousness, we find goodness within the pages of the Scriptures. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So here we have the truth. Here we have righteousness. Here we have goodness. And praise God for the presence of God's Spirit. The Spirit of God that not only regenerates us, the Spirit of God whom indwells us, and we'll say more about him in the weeks to come, he empowers us to walk in goodness, in righteousness, in truth, contained within the pages of Scripture. So the Apostle Paul challenges these believers, determined to walk as children of light. Yes, you, determine, make a decision. I'm going to walk in the light. I'm not going to continue to walk in darkness. Determine. And in the power of God's Spirit, we can walk in goodness and in righteousness and in truth. In Psalm 119, verse 105, that we will read eventually in the next 22 weeks, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It is the word of God that lightens our pathway, shows us where and how to walk in obedience to God's word. We walk in the light, do we not? We need light to work, and we need to walk in the light of the word of God. Let us walk in the light of God's word. Determine, I'm going to walk in the light of the word of God. How do we deal with these perversions that prevail all around us? We need to determine to walk in the light of the word of God. Let's go back to Ephesians 5, verse 10. It reads, "Proving proving, examining." The word literally means to qualify, qualifying. What is, let's say it together, acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. So don't be deceived by vain words, number one. Distance yourself with poor company, sinful company. Determine to walk as a child of light. And verse 10 here teaches us that we need to be discerning. Proving. Qualify what is acceptable unto the Lord. In other words, we need to carefully screen what we allow into our lives and ask ourselves the question, is this producing a sweet fragrance before God? Because there in chapter 5, verse 2, at the end of the verse, it makes reference for a sweet-smelling savour. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. We need to carefully screen what we allow into our lives. Because it is possible to incorporate into our lives that which is not acceptable to the Lord. The devil has his counterfeits. And we need to test and qualify what we allow into our lives. Be therefore followers of God as cherished children. Walk in love. Be on guard against fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. Not appropriate, not convenient in the life of a believer. The devil has his counterfeits, and we need to test and qualify what we allow into our lives as to whether it is truly a sweet fragrance to God or not. Beloved, the battle is without. We battle against the world, but also within Christianity today, we see much that is just counterfeit. The Apostle Paul made reference to another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Not all that it is called Christianity is true biblical Christianity. Don't be so simple to believe that. The Bible teaches us that we need to be discerning, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Asking ourselves, is this acceptable to the Lord? I know it's meant to be Christian, but is this really acceptable to the Lord? Because there are perversions out there. We need to be mindful. Let me illustrate without being unkind. When you next walk into places like Kurong Bookstore, it would be foolish to say to yourself, all good. Stupid little term. Can't wait until it dies out and we get the next one. All good. Be very foolish for you to walk into Kurong and say to yourself, all good. No. Not all good. Not all good. But Pastor, isn't it all Christian? Yes, meant to be. That bookstore caters for everybody. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. I'm of the opinion, avoid the music department altogether. Literally. Don't go anywhere near it. You'll be bombarded with it as soon as you walk in. It all sounds the same. Because it's CCM. Avoid the music altogether. It's not the type of bookstore you would go into to buy books on prophecy. I'm just giving you some warning. That bookstore does not promote a biblical basis for prophecy. Now, there are some good books in there. I'm not saying not to buy from Kurong. I still buy from Kurong. But be discerning. Be discerning. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. We need to ask ourselves, is this book that I'm reading, this music that I'm listening to, this place that I visit, is it acceptable to the Lord? Could I invite the Lord Jesus to join me? Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Being discerning. Asking the hard question. Because we have perversions of that which is true all around us on a worldly level and also within the Christian world. Take your pick. Take your pick, whatever type of Christianity you want, it's available out there. But I'd like to think you're here this morning because you want biblical Christianity. And we will teach you a standard. I'm not saying we're the only ones. I'm simply encouraging you, beloved, this morning, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Screen. Examine. Ask yourself the question, is this a prophet for me spiritually? Would this be acceptable to the Lord, pleasing to the Lord? Let's go to verse number 11, please, Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 11 reads, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light." We need to deliberately, this is my final point, my last D. We need to deliberately amputate, out of our lives anything that is perverted. It is the Word of God, the light of truth, that will expose that which is dark and that which is unfruitful. And the Apostle Paul exhorted these believers, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship. Amputate. Cut. Distance yourself. This is what we call radical amputation in counseling. Radical. You've heard of radical surgery? This is radical amputation. That you and I as believers, if we are to be followers of God and walk in love, it could well be that you and I need to radically amputate, deliberately amputate out of our lives that which is unfruitful and that which is dark spiritually. Note there in Acts chapter 19, quickly. Here in Acts chapter 19, we read of the conversion of many and the establishment of this church there in Ephesus. Note there in Acts chapter 19. Verse 18, it reads, Acts 19, 18, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." Verse 19, "And many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together, occultic material, and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." And then note verse 20, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." So why did the effect of the gospel penetrate so effectively there in Ephesus? Is because believers got saved and they were willing to radically amputate. Many of them had occultic material and they were willing to destroy it, though it was very costly. Deliberately amputate. But yet, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 5, there in verse 12, it talks about it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So many of these believers, upon their conversion, destroyed their occultic material. But it seems that some believers, listen to me carefully, some believers were still holding on to occultic material by which they were giving place to the devil. And the Apostle Paul is exhorting these believers, those of you that have these secret gods, radically amputate. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. My friend, this morning, are there people in your life? Is there a relationship in your life? Is there a habit that you need to cut out of your life? Do you love the Lord more than anything else in your life? Are you willing to amputate? Are you willing to deliberately amputate that personal mobile phone, if that's what it means? Or that PC, if that's what it means, out of your life? Which has been the gateway of evil, such as gambling and addictive, unholy games and pornography? Do you love God enough that you're willing to amputate? And to live without a phone, once upon a time we lived without phones. We survived. Once upon a time we lived without PCs. We survived. How much do you love God? If that phone, that computer is the channel of evil in your life, are you willing? Do you love God enough to say, amputate, cut? That's what God's calling for. What are you practicing in secret that is dishonorable to the Lord? Oh, you can hide it from us. You can hide it from Pastor. You can hide it from your family. You can hide it from friends. But the Bible teaches us, be sure your sin will find you. God will get you. C.H. Spurgeon was once asked by an individual if he would allow him to write a book on his life. Mr. Spurgeon responded by saying, "You may write my life in the skies. I have nothing to hide." You can write on my life in the skies. I have nothing to hide. Deliberately amputating. Do you love God enough that you are willing to cut? This is the biblical doctrine of separation. Being set apart from sin by being set apart unto God. This is what we call holiness. God is holy. We are called to be holy. Deliberate amputation. Beloved, this morning, if we are to be true followers of God, we are to walk in love. Our love for the Lord needs to be premier, because He first loved us. And we need to be aware of the perversions of love that exist all around us. And we need to take a stand and push back. Push back. The Anglicans like that term, push back. Need to push back. True, need to push back. It's like, no, don't accept that. No, that's vain words. Wrong company. It's not walking in the light. Not acceptable to the Lord. It's the works of darkness. It's unfruitful. Our lifestyle and our words reveal what we are and who we belong to. And the Apostle Paul exhorts these believers, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Does your life, does my life give the evidence of the fact that I love God more than anything? Most of us spend more time looking into our phones as opposed to reading the Word of God. Am I right or not? That is a shame. And you say you love God? You determine not to leave home without your phone, but you'll leave home without your Bible. You'll leave home without having opened the Word of God. We say we love God? I don't think so. I don't think so. Perversion's all around us. God wants you and I to love Him with all of our being. Are you prepared? Am I prepared to do what needs to be done to affirm that love for God? But let me warn you, you might need to deliberately amputate some things out of your life. Be followers of God by walking in love, being aware of the perversions, and doing what needs to be done to maintain that love devotion for God first and foremost. May God help us. Let's pray.